This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. I'm glad to be with you one more time to discuss the Word of God and share some insight into it for your edification and for the edification of the kingdom of God that is to come. What do you know about Jesus? Now, there seems to be a lot of talk about Jesus in the world around us. We find presentations that talk of Jesus, extol the virtues of Jesus, and do you know Jesus, and those kinds of things. But I'm wondering, have you, like I, run into a few notions about Jesus? For instance, if you were to ask someone, what's Jesus' last name, would they say Christ? In fact, it's not a name, it's a title. It's translated as the Anointed One. But many people assume that Jesus' last name was Christ. Now, perhaps you've been out on the golf course and maybe heard things like, Jesus H. Christ. I didn't know he had a middle name, you know, that H must stand for something, but I've heard people reference that. But beyond it, they say things like, for Christ's sake. What does that mean? Now, that's all in the notion of being upset about something. So you can hear a lot about Jesus, but who is he? And the most important question is, was he real? Or was he the figment of one's imagination, of an ancient people who concocted the notion of a Savior and they gave him the name Jesus Christ? Well, because this is a program that emphasizes and recognizes the Word of God, the Bible, as authoritative, and that it presents and underscores the reality of Jesus, I think we should refer to it and see what instructions we might find. Because if you're watching this telecast, I shall assume that because you have a religious notion or an interest in knowing something about God and the Bible, that this program will not shy you away or cause you to shy away from it. You know, there's something additionally about Jesus that I should mention. There are some who say, while we believe that Jesus existed, his authority and his presentation was merely like a prophet, like Noah or Abraham or Moses or someone in that category, including Muhammad. Now, have you ever heard such a notion that Jesus should be demoted and relegated to merely being a prophet, nice guy, had a good philosophy, pleasant and all of that, but God in the flesh, and furthermore, the Son of God? What an idea in some people's mind. Today I'd like to take time to look at a few scriptures, and by the way, in about 24 minutes, it is not possible to explore everything you need to know about Jesus the Christ. Therefore, we're offering some material that will additionally assist you in learning more about who this purported Savior is. The booklet is entitled, Is Jesus Really God? We want you to make the toll-free call to receive that. And in addition to that, I've put together a tape that is approximately 60 minutes in length, and it is entitled, Is Jesus Christ Real? Both of these items can be yours when you make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. And you can also visit our website at www.cgi.org and also make your request there. But operators are standing by, and as always, all of our material is absolutely free of charge, and we hope you make that call. Is Jesus real? Now, that's important to note because in a world that seems to be going astray faster than I can calculate, there needs to be or have some sense of a Savior or someone who can come in and set things straight. Now, the Word of God declares that there is such an individual. He came once, But there is a second coming to this earth to be the peacemaker that the world lacks. There's a lot of talk about peace, as there is a lot of talk about Jesus. But is he real? I'd like to start in the Gospel of John today to look at a few verses and help set the stage for something that happened in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost with some people who were followers of this prophet, this soothsayer, some would say, this philosopher. And you know, some of those people are actually willing to lay down their lives for what they believed in. Many people are willing to lay down their lives for common causes or ephemeral causes or causes that don't mount to a hill of beans. But to lay down your life for a figment of one's imagination, is that possible? Well, first, in the Gospel of John, in the very first chapter, we're introduced by the Apostle John to the reality of one who was sent on a mission from God. Now, those of you who remember the Blues Brothers, they said they were on a mission from God, but I suggest that the true mission of God was fulfilled by one called Jesus. Now, in the very first chapter, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Well, obviously, that Word is not the Word Jesus. So how am I going to connect this to the reality of Jesus? Let's read on. "In the beginning was the Word," the Greek word here is logos, "and the Word was with God." That's interesting. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God, obviously an oblique reference to the Father. And in addition to that, the Word was God. Whoa, wait a minute. He was there in the beginning. He was with God. And he was, what does it say? The Word was God. Now, let me just pause here and contemplate that. The same was in the beginning with God. All right. John goes on to declare that this individual that is referred to as the Word was the one that we come to know or can come to know as Jesus the Christ. He was in the beginning. How did he get here? Well, remember when Gabriel came to Mary and prophesied or told her that she was selected from all of the women of the world to be the Christ bearer, that is, to be the mother of one who was to be the Savior of the world. Now, to Mary, that's quite a reality, seeing as how she was a virgin and had not had sexual relations with any man. And she's told by an angel, a messenger of God, that you're going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew, which simply means Savior, a bringer of salvation, essentially. Now, what would you think if you were in Mary's shoes? Furthermore, if you were Joseph, her espoused husband, what would you think? Well, all of that's recorded in the Word of God for you to examine for yourself. You can go to the book of Luke or the book of Matthew and see those things laid out there. I won't spend time now talking about it. But the reality is that this woman was selected to bear the Son of God, to bring him into life in the standard way, the 280 days of gestation. Yes, that's right, to go through all of the morning sickness, all that is necessary to bring Christ into a reality. And when he was born, interesting things happened around. You can read of that in the second chapter of the book of Luke. But for now, this individual that we're talking about, we are told some interesting things about his reality. In verse 3, it says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made." Well, if you're like me in my youth and trying to figure all of that out, first of all, he was God in the beginning, he was with God, and all of a sudden, he's going to come as a babe, and he's going to come as a child, and he's going to grow into manhood and eventually declare himself to be the Savior of the world. How does that happen? Well, we all know that when we have children, that is, our wives, our women bear children, they go through a period of growth and all the way through maturation to the point of adulthood, and they begin to take on their own personalities, to do their own bidding, and to do their responsibilities. The same thing happened with this young child who grew into manhood Jesus Christ. And he was told, not only by his mother, but by the Spirit of God dwelling in him, that he was significant, that he was consequential, that he was elevated above those others who thought he was simply a prophet, simply a good teacher, simply a nice guy. There were things within him that stirred within him that declared himself to be far more significant than others, not merely like Abraham, not merely like the prophet Muhammad that was yet 600 plus years removed from Jesus Christ. So as we examine this issue today of the reality of Jesus Christ, let me suggest, as we read through and follow these passages, here are some interesting things to consider. It says in verse 9 that this Jesus was the true light, which lightens every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's very interesting, because there are people today still confused. Perhaps you are one, as to how to juxtapose, how to reconcile this notion of the existence of a Jesus Christ who had a pre-existence, that is, he was once with the Father before he came to the earth. And when he came to the earth, he came the natural way through the birth through Mary and established himself, about the time he was 30 years of age, as significant, as consequential, as important to us for salvation. How do we reconcile this? Well, let's read on. In verse 11 of John, the first chapter, says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let me just pause right there, because it's necessary for an individual to receive Jesus, that is, to accept his reality for what he can do, what he can bring. He came for a purpose to this earth. His Father sent him in the form of flesh. In fact, there's another name that he bears called Emmanuel, which is translated from Hebrew to mean God with us. Wow. You mean God loves us so much that he would take extraordinary measures to bring a Savior to the earth in the form of Jesus and to have him prepare to die on our behalf, to bring salvation to us and to blot out our sins, to have his blood cover all of our sins. You see, that's the purpose of this Jesus and his reality. Because without his reality, without his existence, we would still be in our sins. And sin cannot abide in the presence of Almighty God. Now, that's important to know. Perhaps you are wrestling personally with some issues in your life, things that you've done, thoughts that you've had, and confusion in which you presently may dwell. How can you extricate yourself out of it? Well, the answer, as Billy Graham used to ask, Jesus is the answer. Christ is the answer. And what is the question? How do I find salvation? How do I have my sins forgiven? How do I have a relationship with the Heavenly Father? Jesus is the reality of that, and you must come to it as you understand his word. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now that's interesting, because his name, Jesus, or Yeshua in the Hebrew, has a meaning. It's about salvation. It's about being extricated from the throes of death that comes upon every man since Adam to this present day. Now, I hope that you will take time to think about this reality. But to help you understand something without going through all of the other scriptures now to deal with what happens prior to the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, but I want to go over to the second chapter of Acts right now to see what the Apostle Peter has to preach about on the day that the Holy Spirit fell upon those apostles and other believers in Jerusalem that turned the whole world upside down. Let's see what we can discover here. In this first or second chapter of the book of Acts, we read in verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, but he spent his life, his early life, that's where his family lived, in Nazareth, up in Galilee, which was north of Jerusalem. And frequently they would make treks down to Jerusalem to observe the holy days, especially the Passover. You can read about that even also in the book of Luke in the second chapter. But here we are going to be introduced to a marvelous aspect of this Jesus and his reality. A man approved of God, it goes on to say in verse 22, among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Now, I'm living here in the 21st century. Jesus lived a long time ago. But there are individuals, we have their names, who testify to his reality, who testify that they not only saw him, walked the dusty roads of Palestine with him, observed his crucifixion, then went to the empty tomb in which he had been laying 3 days prior and found him gone from the tomb. Here is some reality about the existence of Jesus Christ that you should explore. And that's what Peter is talking about here. He goes on in verse 23 to say, him being delivered by the determinate counsel, that's the Pharisees, and then the Pharisees brought him ultimately to Herod, and the Herod over to Pilate, and they went through this round robin of dealing with the reality of Jesus Christ. Well, what does it say? And all of this was done by the foreknowledge of God. In other words, it was a plan in effect. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up. Well, so he just didn't merely die. So many people ask the question, well, was Jesus really dead? And if he was dead, was his body simply robbed and hidden by his apostles and his followers? Well, this goes on to give a testimony. And if you cannot believe what the Apostle Peter is indicating here, well, you simply have no Savior. You simply have no recourse to God. If you are a believer in the Creator God Almighty, and that he has a plan that he's working out here on the earth, and you're just trying to figure it out, should I follow this prophet? Or should I believe this religious figure? Should I go back to a time distant from Christ, perhaps 600 or 700 years, and follow Muhammad in one example? Well, Jesus was more than Muhammad. He was more than Abraham. He was more than Moses, the Bible says. He was, in fact, the Savior of those individuals. My last reckoning is there's no one who can come forward and testify that Buddha or Muhammad has been raised from the dead. And here is Peter declaring that this individual who was real, who walked the roads of Palestine, who did marvelous miracles at the behest of Almighty God, is real, does exist, did die, was resurrected, and because of it, you and I have access to salvation. So what do we do after that? Well, Peter goes on here to declare some things. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden or tied down by death. Now that is the centerpiece of the gospel, that there is a resurrection from the dead. And if this Jesus and his reality does exist, that he was raised from the dead, and that we too, if we should see death, will be raised from the dead because of what Jesus did. How do you reconcile yourself to this notion? The Apostle Paul goes on here in this passage to declare some things. He says, verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, this is referring, of course, to David, that his soul was not left in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption, that Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now, I understand that if you have witnesses to a crime, to a happy event, we can all listen to the witnesses, because the Bible gives a principle, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But we have more than two or three witnesses to the reality of Jesus Christ, all in the first century. And as a result of it, here in the 21st century, more and more people are talking about the reality of Jesus and the necessity of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with Christ today? What shall you do to declare such a thing? Now, many folk have you pray with them. They say, I want you to pray a certain prayer, and they want to bring you into that relationship. Well, you can pray. You don't have to pray with me. You can cry out to Almighty God to allow you to have a relationship with the individual that he sent to this earth to bring salvation, to have you overcome all of the difficulties of your life, and to not only have a relationship, but to ultimately enter into his kingdom. And the one who is to be the head of that kingdom is Jesus the Christ. He is the Son of God. The Bible declares him to be the Prince of Peace. He is going to be the one who is going to stand on the earth in future days, not many days hence. Can't put a time limit on it for you. Wish I could. I have no codes by which I can give you and direct you to a code in the scriptures that will give you the secrets of the temple. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour when he's coming, but he is coming back. And you will see, if you are alive, this cloud split apart and him descend with his heavenly host to this earth. That's the reality. But back again to the scriptures. Peter goes on here to talk and declare, verse 32, that Jesus has been raised from the dead by God, and we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted. That's where he is now. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. These people, who were common everyday people like you and me, who had questions and concerns and thoughts and foibles and weaknesses, they were displayed through the course of their lives. Peter, who had walked with Christ, who had seen him on the Mount of Transfiguration, had seen him raise people from the dead, had seen him accomplish many wonderful works and miracles. When the crunch came, he denied that he even knew him. And Peter went away very sorrowful. So here's a turnaround. Here is the post-Pentecost Peter speaking here in the book of Acts about the reality of Jesus, because he is real, friends, and he is looking for a response from you and from me. It goes on to say, for David is not ascended into heaven, that's a whole nother subject, but he has himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit you on my right hand until I make your foes your footstools. That is, there's coming a time when he is going to be elevated to his proper place in rulership on this earth. We're looking around for a savior. We're looking around right now for someone who can bring peace to this world, which is in absolute chaos and is going to get worse. Governments of this world are talking about peace, peace when there is no peace. But the Prince of Peace and the reality of Jesus Christ is that he is coming back to claim for himself those who are in Christ, new creatures, new creations. And it goes on to say in verse 37, this brings us to what you can do to respond. And I hope that you'll take advantage of the free material that's offered to help bring you closer to this reality. It says, when these people heard what Peter was talking about, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, I want you to think that you should not demote Jesus Christ or dismiss him as simply a figure of the past, an individual who was merely a prophet or man just like you and me. I hope that you'll come to a reality that he existed, for Peter's response was that you should repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Take time to make the toll-free call to receive the material offered today. Is Jesus really God? And the tape, is Jesus Christ real? Both can be yours toll-free with a simple call to 1-888-578-8791. And I'll join you here another time here on the Armor of God. Stay tuned and watch my colleague on how you can receive this material offered today.
You know, Bronson had a good question today. What do we know about Jesus Christ? Some of us would like to relegate him down to just a simple teacher, a holy man from the Middle East, perhaps a Jewish rabbi at best. But you know, my friends, your Bible says that he was a lot more than that. Oh yes, that's right, my friends. Bronson brought up the fact that Jesus Christ was actually fulfilled prophecy. Did you ever realize that? There we read about a virgin that is going to have a baby visited by an angel called Gabriel. And she was told she was going to conceive. But do you know that that story about Mary conceiving a baby from God was told almost 700 years before it happened? Read it. Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus was born, states there from God a message to us that a virgin would have a baby, and his name, that's right, his name would be called Emmanuel. And do you know what that name means? Let your Bible interpret it for itself. Read it there in Matthew chapter 1, verse about 14. You'll see Emmanuel means God with us. That's right, my friends, God with us. I think that's a little bit farther ahead and above than just some simple teacher. You know, Bronson also, in the course of his presentation, pointed out and challenged all of us about the fact that Jesus pre-existed. Oh, yes, and you can read about this very story in Jesus trying to communicate that very fact to some of his favorite friends, and I say that with tongue in cheek, of course, the Jews of his day. There in John chapter 8, you find Jesus confronting issue after issue, of which one of those issues was the fact that he claimed that he, before Abraham was, he was the I am. And boy, I'll tell you, if that got under the Jews' skin, you can tell by virtue of the results that it generated, because they picked up stones and tried to kill him. So my friends, you need to realize what Jesus was saying there is that he did indeed pre-exist, as Bronson was mentioning, referencing Exodus chapter 3, verse about 14 or so. There's so much more that we need to know about who and what Jesus Christ is. Let us help you. Dial now 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for the free audio taped offer that we have called Is Jesus Christ Real? By Bronson James, about a one-hour presentation, also available on CD. Ask for the literature, too. Is Jesus Really God? Both are free. Let me emphasize, my friends, both are free. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 and hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. My friends, this is Bill Watson, reminding all of you to keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.